come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Show, and I'm your host, Bill Frank. You may not know it, but there's an association of personal historians whose profession it is to help others write their family history and personal journey. My next guest is a member of that society. After years of helping others investigate and write their stories, she's learned that everyone has a tale to tell and an interesting background. Oftentimes, it simply takes a skilled person such as herself to ferret out the good stuff. Now she's turned the microscope on her own life and written part one of her memoir, What Lies Within. Libby Atwater began telling people stories more than two decades ago. In her career, she's written for businesses, nonprofit organizations, educational institutions, magazines, and community newspapers. In 2002, Libby began teaching others how to write life stories. By 2004, she decided it was time to write her story. 10 years later, she's published her first memoir, What Lies Within, and its sequel is in progress. Joining us in studio, welcome to the show, Libby. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, you've spent a good part of your career working with clients to tell their stories. And no doubt you were thinking of writing your own story throughout that entire time. After decades of working with others, why write What Lies Within now?
Because my story was so painful in some ways, it took me years to process it. I'd made many attempts over the past 50 years to tell my story, and sometimes it came out angry, sometimes it came out too sad, and I wanted to give my realistic picture, my point of view of how my early life was and the obstacles I had to overcome to be able to do the work that I do now. Every story that I tell has elements of my story in it, every other person's story. And when I began writing other people's stories, I realized how similar we all are in our journeys. And I decided my journey is worth talking about because it may inspire others.
Well, it certainly is inspiring. You have a very interesting backstory. So why don't you tell us about your personal drive to find your own history and how that really, that drive impacted your life?
I remembered a lot of my childhood, but because of my early losses, I really did not have the background, the written background as some people do, or the family members to go to and say, did this really happen? Do I recall it that way? So I had to delve deep into my memory, seek out the town where I was raised, look up some history of the town, recall the street names. I used to have what we'd call a photographic memory. It's fading with age, but I do tend to remember things that other people don't remember. Of course, I had great difficulty telling the story of the relationship between my sister Blanche and myself because it was such a contentious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want it to come out angry, but I wanted to give a realistic picture of the life I lived with her and the difficulties that my parents encountered raising a child like that and raising a child like me. We were almost direct opposites. I was the good girl. She was the bad seed. Do you remember that movie with Patricia McCormick?
I do.
Yes.
And Libby, you talked earlier about your sense of loss. Talk a little bit more about that loss, because that is obviously fundamental to your story.
Well, I had such a lovely childhood, as I recall, up until the time when I was 12. And my parents informed me that we would have to sell our childhood home. Now, most children are attached to the place where they've lived all their life. And I was in shock. And then when they revealed the reasons, because my father had lost great sums of money to his gambling habit, again, I was in for shock. When I realized that we would also not only lose our home because of the money and our possessions, but that we would have to make this journey to California, which to me was a very strange place when I arrived, that was another loss because I left all my friends behind and what little family we had in the East behind. But I did not expect after we got here that my sister would depart within a month, nor that my father would die within 10 months of our arrival. We left him behind in the East, nor that my mother would die 16 months after my father, leaving me an orphan at age 15. And those, I think that last loss tremendously impacted my life.
The loss of your sister moving out or the loss of your mother passing?
The loss of my mother. I was very close to my mother. She was my rock and my foundation. She gave me the values that I hold dear. And it was she and I together. I don't want to reveal too much of this story, but having read the book, you know that I came home and found her dead. And it was frightening and shocking for a 15-year-old. And I don't think that at the time, it was 1963, people realized the impact of that on a teenager. Today, there are ways to help teenagers who lose parents. And consequently, everyone just expected me, once they found a place for me, and you know I was shuttled from relatives, between relatives, once they found a place for me, they just expected me to go on and get good grades and continue in school. And I don't know if they expected me to pretend that nothing happened, but there was this huge hole in my life. And as the good girl, I did what was expected. But it was really difficult at times.
And I can hear the emotion in your voice. Mm-hmm. And my guest is Libby Atwater. She is the author of the book, What Lies Within. We're talking about her background, her childhood growing up, as part of her memoir. So, Libby, this sense of loss that you had led you to a lot of things. It led you to become a personal historian, which is your profession, among other things. But tell me how it drove you in your teenage years, your college years, and I guess subsequently in your adult life as well.
From the time I was 12, I had always wanted to go to UCLA. I read an article about UCLA in Parade magazine when I lived in Hillside, New Jersey, and I read that they had co-ed dorms. I thought that was very, very neat.
Scandalous.
Scandalous. And I said, Mommy, I want to go to that college. And she kind of laughed because we were in Hillside, New Jersey, which is a continent away, you know. I always had that dream to go there. And when I actually moved to California, had all these losses, I knew my only ticket out of the situation I was in, which was we had really very little financial means. I had a Social Security payment and whatever my uncle could muster up. And consequently, I knew that if I got a good education and worked hard, that I could make something of myself. So that drove me. And plus, the high school counselors always encouraged us to participate in extracurricular activities, which I did. And I thought the combination of my grades and the activities would get me into a college. I never dreamed that I'd get 3 scholarships to UCLA, which helped tremendously. But it was that drive to make a life for myself.
Well, now, what led you to try to unearth more of your past and really delve into your own personal history? Was it a sense of curiosity, wanting to know more about yourself, maybe your family history, your health history? What was it that drove you to start uncovering the bricks of your past?
I felt that there was a lot of unfinished business. Many people who tell their stories want to deal with the unfinished business. And when they tell me their stories, they tell me things they don't tell other family members. I realized that I had really never faced my issues, the abandonment, the loss. And I thought that telling my story would be cathartic and help me do that. You mentioned health history, and I don't know if you recall, but in the early part of the book, I was adopted the day or 2 days after I was born. I forgot I was adopted, and that was a secret that came out also when I was 12, because I was told when I was so young that it just never registered in my mind. So I didn't really know my health history, and that actually leads to the sequel where I went searching 10 years ago and did find my birth family. But I just felt that for years, I was dealing with issues of never feeling adequate, feeling unwanted. And consequently, I decided that perhaps by writing my story, it would help me deal with these demons.
All right. Well, I want to delve in a little bit further. I know it's your sequel, but I do want to talk about your search for your birth parents, because that, too, is part of your identity and so forth. What concerns did you have when you started looking for your birth parents? And then once you found your birth parents, what sort of concerns were raised in your mind?
Well, my major concern was that they would reject me. You know, it's a Pandora's box when adoptees go looking for birth parents. And at the time I was searching, which was 2004, although I'd made some attempts before the internet was really available to people, I'd made some attempts in the 80s with no luck. I went searching for them in looking for my health history, and I knew their name. I had found a box with my papers and with their name in it. I didn't consider them my real family. I considered my family who raised me my real family. Yet there was still this need to know where I came from. So I went on Google and I looked up people with this last name. And I knew that my family background was Italian, and I knew that Italians in New Jersey usually stayed in New Jersey. So I started looking for people with that last name in New Jersey, and then I used my professional persona and said, I am seeking Angela Scaglione for a personal history project. She was born in New Jersey sometime in the 1930s, and she lived in Irvington or Newark, New Jersey, and I would like to contact her. I sent this email out at about 11:30 a.m. on a Monday to six people who I designated. Some were in Florida, because if people do move from New Jersey, they move to Florida to get warm. And within an hour, I had an answer from this young man named Jerry Scaglione. And he said, I know this person. Who are you and what are you looking for? And then I told him that she was listed as my birth mother and that I needed to find her for health reasons. And he kind of put on the brakes and said, whoa, I don't know anything about this, but I'll get back to you. And he got back to me the next morning and said, you are definitely a member of my family. Turned out, as I said, he was my first cousin.
Yeah, that is great. My guest is Libby Atwater. She is author of the book, What Lies Within. Now, Libby, I don't want to give away everything that's in the book, but I want to come back to the title, What Lies Within. It's kind of an ominous title. Why did you choose that title?
I chose that title because it exemplifies resilience. And I think the theme of my book is resilience. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. And I wanted to show the world that I was made of steel. I may have a soft exterior, but I am strong and I will continue. And that's why I chose the title.
Now, who should read your book, What Lies Within?
I would say my major audience has been baby boomers. Young adults, I think, would find it inspiring. And I also think people who've been adopted, lost their parents early on, might find it inspiring. So far, I've sent it out to people in all age groups, and I'm getting feedback from people who say, oh, I remember New York City on New Year's Eve in New York City. So there are a lot of elements of my book that people can relate to. But I would say my target market has been male and female baby boomers. Now, I just had a reader last night who's 33 years old who was just amazed by my story. And this young man is a professional baseball pitcher who just is recovering from the Tommy John surgery. So he's got some metal, too. And he just said, I can't believe it. And he was quite impressed. So I think it appeals to a wide age range.
All right, Libby, I'm going to change it up on you here a little bit, please, and talk about your career as a personal historian. That's the profession that you've chosen. First of all, some of our listeners may not know this. What is a personal historian?
Well, a personal historian is someone who helps individuals, families, businesses, or organizations tell their stories. And there are about 700 members of our organization worldwide. We're international, the majority in the U.S. and Canada. And we work in a number of ways. I use the medium of books. Some people create video, and others do audio recordings. I've been doing more audio recordings lately as I work on my own books.
When you say you work on audio recordings, you tell us, how does that actually work?
I meet with a client. I find out some information, such as what part of his or her life they want to go into, and then I get some background on the person, write questions, and I go in with my recording, digital recording equipment, and sit down and meet with them for about an hour and a half a session until we get the story out. One of my most interesting subjects was a Bataan Death March survivor who recently passed away. And he wanted to ensure that his family had a record of what he experienced during the Bataan Death March and his time in World War II.
Are most of your clients elderly?
The majority are.
Well, now that brings up an interesting dichotomy, part of this generational switch that we're going through right now, because baby boomers, our generation, we're the most educated, the most affluent, and prosperous generation in all of human history. I mean, we've got a higher level of college education than at any other time in human history. And a lot of people believe that there's a book inside of them. How is the aging of the baby boomers impacting the personal historian business?
Oh, it's impacted it tremendously. I would say initially we thought that their parents, the greatest generation, were the target market. But what I've found, when I did my first personal history, I was hired by boomers to tell their parents' story. Now the boomers want to tell their story because they want to show we've been here. People want to leave some kind of permanent record of their time here. And so telling their story in a video, audio, book is one way to preserve it.
Libby, how does one engage a personal historian?
Well, I suggest that they go to the website, which is personalhistorians.org, and then there is a link on there that says find a personal historian. And there's a listing for personal historians around the world. They call the person up, ask a few questions, and decide to meet and discuss the project.
Great. My guest is Libby Atwater, author of the book, What Lies Within. Libby, I want to bring you back to your own personal history, What Lies Within, and talk about what were some of the key lessons that you learned about writing personal histories that are going to help you empathize with your clients now that you've written your own personal history.
I never realized how hard it is to tell your story. I knew there was an emotional component, and quite often when I dealt with clients, it would take me a while to get a manuscript back, and I didn't realize why or understand why. And it brought me in touch or in tune with what they were feeling. Clients invest a lot when they tell their stories. And as you can tell from my book, I invested a lot of myself in my story. So it put me in touch with that aspect. It also put me in touch with the process of life review and reminiscence, which is supposed to be very, very healthy.
What one thing do you see differently after you've written your own memoir?
Well, I see the world differently. I realize that nothing is permanent, that everything changes. And I guess we have to adjust to the changes and go on the best we can. As I said, my book is about resilience. The personal tragedy tested my resilience to the utmost, but I am determined to go on.
Resilience is a compelling trait. It's a compelling story, no doubt about that. My guest is Libby Atwater, author of the book, What Lies Within. Libby, if people are fascinated by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I would direct them to my website, which is chooseyourwords.net. Or we have another publishing website, hillside-cyw.net. Or I have a Facebook page for What Lies Within.
That is great. Libby, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill.